Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hey, you're leaving without me!
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we have with us on the old gospel bus as we pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, and me.
All right. Well, since the boss man's on, we'll let him have first honors. What do you got for us in the way of prayer, praises, prayer requests, Six?
Well, first off, good evening, everyone. As always, for mankind, my family, your family, my friends, your fans, my fans, your fans. Want to send condolences to Sinead O'Connor. She passed away at age 56, so our thoughts and prayers goes out to Sinead O'Connor family, her friends at this difficult time. She was 56, and if you remember, she might have made the song that you remember, Ruthie and Wolfgang, Nothing Compares to You. That was a Prince remake, so we just want to send our condolences to her family. She did suffer from mental illness, so this is why it's very important, and this is why here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we are always checking on each other's mental. I started that because I said, look, if we wake up and God blesses us when he breathes breath into our lungs, but how is our mental, you know? So my mental today is 4 thumbs up, so that's a good thing. But we just want to send condolences to her. And we want to say happy birthday to Mick Jagger, who turned 80 years old. So happy birthday from the Six Eyes Radio Network. But that's my prayer request, as always. Continued success for us all. Continued success and increase for us all. Amen. And get rid of procrastination if one is procrastinating. Amen.
And you're complete.
And I'm complete.
All right. And now, Sister Emily.
And all I got to say is I will agree with our head of our station, 4 thumbs up tonight, even though I am cold.
Okay, any prayer requests, Sam?
As Six said, basically for mankind, our medical and armed force personnel, the patients in nursing homes and hospitals. And there is a special unspoken for my neighbor, Austin.
Okay.
And I am complete.
Okay, Ruth, your turn.
Yeah, I think I'll just pray for everybody and the lost souls tonight, so I think I'm good.
All right, and also remembering, of course, our military, our leaders here in our country, as well as the leaders in every country, that they follow God rather than the dictates of man and themselves. We also want to be praying for, of course, the lost souls out there, praying for our police forces, those in nursing homes and hospitals, and those who work there, and just, of course, the blind ministry and the need for a bus, and just for everybody who works here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, for both stations, and for increased listeners so that people will get the stuff that they need, no matter whether it be just entertainment, whatever, that they just enjoy. Amen. All
Amen.
Right.
Before
so
we get started, sir, before we get started, also pray for Larry. His wife is dealing with cancer, so pray for him. God to heal her so he could turn it around. Also, pray for my cousin Deborah, who had surgery for cancer. So she's in recovery right now. So just continue prayers for her. Anybody going through anything, God to heal her, he can definitely turn it around. But with Larry, they're also harassing him on the job as well. And I know he's going through this situation with his wife. But on a brighter note, if you are a bowler like myself, Six Eyes, you can go to Yorktown Lane in Pearl on Pearl Road in Cleveland, Ohio, and you can participate in bowling from now till August 29th, free. That's right. Just come on up there, 6218 Pearl Road. That's Yorktown Lane, and you can bowl. If you want to bowl with Six Eyes, you can bowl with me. That's Yorktown Lane, 6218 Pearl Road. Tell them Six Eyes sent you. Great time up there. I was up there yesterday. A little rusty, Wolfgang. I bowled one strike. One strike, but it was a lot of fun. So I want to say hello to the gang up there. And I'm telling you, man, they had some great pizza up there. Had some great pizza. So if you are a bowling enthusiast like myself, from now through August 29th, Yorktown Lane, 6218 Pearl Road, come on out. All right, now back to the show.
All right. Well, Brother Six, you didn't know this. I was just getting ready, as you got ready with those last requests, I was getting ready to give you the honors to open us with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our program with our songs, and I'll tell you the rest of all of it after the prayer.
Well, dear Lord, we want to first thank you for getting us to this point right now. But before we got to this point, you had to have breath into our lungs. So we want to thank you for that. That got us to this point right here. We want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do for each and every one of us. We just thank you for all that you do and continue to do. And continue to bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So tonight we've not only got some good music for you, but also we are going to spotlight a message from the Holiness Bibles for the Blind archives. You click on, go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org and click on sermons. Then you click on Fearless Teachings and go down to Euthanasia, the Dark Side of Compassion. That's what we'll be featuring tonight, so you'll want to check that out. If you want a copy, it's free right there. And then, of course, Emily, her song and poem, how has she been doing? Well, so far, she's 13 for 16. Will she continue to keep the pedal on the gas pedal, or will she hit the brakes and get a wrong answer tonight? So far, she's had the fuel, the gas on the old gas pedal, and she's been doing good. Is she going to keep a good run and start coming for the lead here? We're going to find out. And then, of course, Ruthie and her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
Builders with God.
Ooh, sounds like something good. You'll want to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, we have our open mic at the end where you can ask questions, give comments, and any prayer requests that you have forgotten at the beginning of the show, or for any latecomers who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. So let's get on with the show and some good boogie music. Let's have a hoedown. Here we go.
There's boogie.
Get on. Everybody draw near and listen to the gospel call. If you ride this train, you got a lot to gain.
And the Lord wants to take us all.
We're going to ride up high. We will never say goodbye to the one who paid the price to ride. You better get your ticket because you don't want to miss. It's going to be the ride of your life. Get on board. The train's about to leave and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late because the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road beneath to the promised land. We have the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train is bound for glory. This train.
And the holy.
This train is bound for glory, this train. We're not gonna stop,
stop
till we get to the mountain top. We're going to see the Lord. Get on board, the train's about to leave and it's headed up the heavenly way. Get on board and don't be late, cause the Lord can't wait all day. He told us in his book how to travel that road that leads to the promised land. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Everybody get on board. We got the map in our hand and Jesus at the wheel. Oh, everybody get on board.
Jesus, you can have this whole world. Give me Jesus.
The man who died, who gave that right. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
God controls
with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do at your fingertips, F-E-E-L. Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, then on Thursday.
For he took me as I was, oh praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame.
Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Revelation chapter 19, verse 2. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2.
True and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
And you notice there's a judgment here of the great whore. And they said, true and righteous is his, meaning God's, judgment for judging that great whore. And when you find a woman in the Bible named, if they're a good woman in the scripture, that means true religion, and a bad woman in the scripture is false religion. So this is some false religion. We're not going to say who it is, but this is a false religion finally judged by God for having bad religion. And God says true and righteous are his judgments for doing so. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. Amen.
In shady green pastures so rich and sweet, God leads his dear children along home, where the waters cool flow.
Through the waters, some through the flood. Sound of a pin pound, Dixie whistled in the wind, that'll
Witness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. What a day we were coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is the Hebrew word for Lord, which is Adonai. Adonai. A, he's in Daniel, O. N-A-I, Adonai, Psalm 119, verse 89, there is forever, O Lord, Adonai, thy word is settled in heaven. This has been Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with the Hebrew word of the week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. This next song was written by a man right here in Folsom Prison, and last night was the first time I've ever sung this song. Anyway, this song was written by our friend Glenn Shirley, and hope we do your song justice, Glenn. We're going to do our best.
The change of death and all is fine. own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is super-powered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible, if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you've said you love me. In every song you've sung, it doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? And with all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers, do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me.
Thank you.
what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Doctor, I've heard someone say that information is the death knell to complacency quite often, and today we're going to give some information on a subject that is of great concern to you and to all of us at Focus on the Family, and hopefully we'll dispel some complacency in our listening audience.
Well, we were talking about euthanasia, and Rita Marker is a champion in the anti-euthanasia cause. Her efforts in this area include speaking and lecturing around the world, really. She is a lecturer in human life studies at the University of Steubenville in Ohio, and has written many, many articles on that subject, is the mother of seven children and two grandchildren. Rita, welcome back to Focus on the Family.
Thank you.
You really do care about this subject, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And for good reason. We were talking last time about some of the implications of euthanasia. Once you open the door to so-called dignified dying or physician-assisted suicide, then there's no place to stop it. It can go through the society, and you get accustomed to killing the unwanted and those that don't measure up and the unproductive. And yet it's coming. If we don't do something to stop it, it is here. More horrible things are right around the corner. Let's talk about some of the court cases today and some of the trends that are taking place. First of all, I'd like you to talk about the Hemlock Society, which has been agitating for so-called dignified death and dying for years. Explain what they're all about.
Well, the Hemlock Society is one of four national euthanasia organizations in the United States. It was formed in 1980 by Derek Humphrey, a former British journalist who had assisted his wife in killing herself by providing her with a cup of coffee laced with poison. That took place in England, and he wrote a story about it later, or a book about it, called Jane's Way, and then later moved to Los Angeles, California, and started the Hemlock Society with his second wife, Ann Wickett. Hemlock has as its major goal the changing of laws to allow for what they refer to erroneously as physician-assisted aid in dying, and I'll explain why that's erroneous later on. The goal is to of the organization, though, is to make it possible for people to request that they be killed and to allow someone else to do that. Hemlock has a political arm, too, and it's called Americans Against Human Suffering. Now, I've heard it said, and I think it's so true, that all social engineering is preceded by verbal engineering. You use the pretty words and you can get people to buy just about anything. Certainly, Americans Against Human Suffering is a nice way of referring to an organization that's trying to legalize the right to kill.
Is there something comparable in Canada?
Yes, there are two euthanasia organizations in Canada. There are euthanasia organizations all over the world. They generally call themselves by less descriptive terms than euthanasia, but some, for example, in England, they call themselves Exit, and there is New Exit. But back to Hemlock. Hemlock has proposed legislation. They proposed it in California in the form of an initiative, calling it the Humane and Dignified Death Act. And in the promotion of that, when they were doing that, they described this as a bill that would allow for physician-assisted aid in dying, only for those who chose it and only for those who were qualified patients. Many people went along with that idea and said, well, I wouldn't really want to do it. But if someone chooses to do this, it's their life. When they were attempting to gather enough signatures last spring and did not gather enough signatures, but they're going to try again.
They got 200,000 signatures. I think they needed, what, 375,000?
They needed 376,000 to get it on the ballot. And they said 200. I understand that it was not, that they got 200,000. I understand they didn't even get quite that many. But it's helpful to look at that specific piece of legislation because, you know, they call it physician-assisted aid in dying. Do you know that if that law had passed, that any licensed health professional working under the direction of a physician could have carried out what was called aid in dying? Now, let's kind of take that apart. Aid in dying meant any medical procedure that swiftly, painlessly, and humanely terminated the life of a qualified patient, killing the patient. Licensed health professional. Do you know that in California that includes an acupuncturist or a dispensing optician or a hearing aid dispenser? Any of those people could have killed patients at the direction of a physician if that had passed. And what about this terminally ill patient? What about this patient that would have requested this? Well, that was anybody who was diagnosed or misdiagnosed as having 6 months to live. But you could have requested it years before and said, you know, if I ever get in that situation. And then the doctor or someone working under their direction could have killed that person without their even requesting it again, without their knowing it. As far as it being voluntary, there was nothing in that law for any penalty if somebody tricked somebody into signing a request. In most other laws, if you fraudulently induce somebody to sign something, you get hit with a penalty. Not in that.
We dodged a bullet here in California with regard to that particular legislation, although I'm told that, and I'm sure it's true, all 200,000 of those names, or however many they got, are still in the computer. So during the next election, they start with that base. They have all of those names, and then they pick up from there. So they will eventually get it, I'm told, that this will eventually be on the ballot in the state of California. Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree that they're going to continue to make that attempt. It's also planned for 1990 for the ballot in Washington, Oregon, Florida, and Arizona. And if we're looking at other places where specifically this sort of proposal has been made, in Canada, the Canadian Euthanasia Organization now is distributing their form of the living will, which includes the request for aid in dying.
All right, let me press you for details, Rita. Right. Are you in favor of keeping comatose patients alive by artificial means?
Well, I think it would depend on what you say artificial means. I would say that I would like to stick with the bottom line of saying I oppose killing people. In no way am I saying that we should use every possible bit of medical technology to keep everybody alive until the machine breaks down. But let's do be specific and let's talk about what is often being described as keeping the comatose alive by artificial means. A current case, or a recent case, is that of Marcia Gray in Rhode Island. Marcia Gray is hospitalized, although according to the hospital, she does not need acute care. She is not terminally ill. She is described by the newspapers as being comatose. She is not. She is profoundly disabled as a result of brain damage following a stroke. She's 49 years old. In news reports, it is referred to the fact that she is being kept alive by artificial means. And yet her status is comfort care only. This means she is not on any type of machine, not on a respirator. In fact, if she develops an infection, she will not receive antibiotics or anything of this sort. She is not being kept alive by all types of medical procedures.
And yet they want to remove fluid and food from her.
The request of the court and the one that the court gave permission on October 17th, 1988, was to remove the food and fluids that she was receiving. That is the only thing that is still remaining. What happens if you remove food and fluids? If you remove food and fluids from anyone, no matter how able-bodied, they die. So this is not medical means of prolonging life. This is just the plain, ordinary sorts of things. So I am opposed to killing anyone, be they referred to as or actually comatose. I do not in any way say that we must use all medical technology.
Rita, there's obviously a lot of money behind this movement, and you have to ask why. Just on the surface of it, having absolutely no information, speaking for myself, it would be to the advantage of insurance companies to have people check out early rather than have to pay those enormous health care bills, which in the last 6 months of life usually exceed health care expenses for the rest of life combined. Any concern there that, you know, that somebody's behind this thing? Who's pushing it?
Well, I think that we should recognize that that is a real probability. We also have to be very cautious that we make certain and know whether that is
You're not
place.
Making that charge. I don't want to get all the insurance people down my neck here. But
I'm not making that charge, although if someone were to say, does that mean that they are not involved, I would not go so far as to say that there is no involvement either.
Well, who is behind this thing? I mean, why is there such passion around this movement?
That's a very good question, and I think so many things have converged to cause this to take place at this time. I believe that we're looking at the idea of healthcare costs and cutting costs. We're looking at AIDS and people who really have a very tremendous bias against those with AIDS. We're looking at the aging of the population and younger people saying, well, I'll be caring for these older people. We're also looking at a situation where many of us have reached a stage where we want to be totally in control, and we cannot wait for things, and so we see this as a method of control without recognizing what's happening. So many things that we can't put our finger on one thing.
If I had to guess, Rita, I'd bet the ACLU is involved in it someplace.
You win. You're definitely right. The ACLU is very involved. For example, they have taken a very official position saying that they are in favor of consensual euthanasia. But there's a more interesting involvement that occurred in Colorado in a recent case there. A young man by the name of Hector Rodas took an overdose of drugs, and it caused a stroke. He was left quadriplegic, although doctors did say that he could begin to regain the use of his arms and so forth. Hector Rodas, following his accident or his overdose, was divorced by his wife. He also realized that he would never be able to work as a mechanic again. That had been his job. And he made it very clear that he wanted to die by starvation and dehydration. Now, the place where Hector Rodas was being cared for, Hilltop Rehabilitation Center in Colorado, questioned his decision because Hector Rodas, they felt, was probably and rightfully so depressed. So the hospital said, look, you have made the request to be starved to death. We want the court to decide whether you are competent to do this. Enter the ACLU to assist Hector Rodas. And the ACLU worked feverishly to convince the court that Hector Rodas did indeed want to die and wanted to be starved to death. Ironically, the decision of the court saying that he could be starved to death took place on January 22nd. But that wasn't the end of the story. The ACLU's involvement went further. They filed with the court a request that since Hector Rodas had been granted the right to die of starvation and dehydration, that he had the right not only to die, but the right to a dignified demise. Therefore, they requested that the judge order that the hospital provide a lethal injection to end his life swiftly rather than through the pain and discomfort of starvation and dehydration. An enterprising young reporter went to the hospital to visit Hector Rodas and asked him point blank, did you request a lethal injection? Did you request that the ACLU petition the court for your right to receive a lethal injection? And Hector Rodas responded using his letter board, no. He had not asked the ACLU to request that the court allow him to be killed by lethal injection. Immediately, the ACLU withdrew the request and the records were sealed. Following Hector Rodas' death, however, they were reopened and this was reported. ACLU did not stop there. 2 days before Rodas' death, they went back to him and asked for his permission to file yet another suit. They filed a suit against the health facility where he had been a patient, filed suit on battery charges charging the healthcare facility for having fed Hector Rodas from the time that he requested starvation until the time that the court ordered it. Now, after all of this occurred, someone went to the ACLU's Denver office and said, oh, this was really terrible that this request was made. And the ACLU representative responded by saying that it was really unfortunate that the reporter had gone and checked with Rodas, that this case would have been a very good case.
That's phenomenal. And the ACLU purports to be for individual rights, and yet there seems to be a larger agenda there someplace, doesn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, what is going on is that they are attempting to promote what they think is the right thing to do for someone else, not the rights of the individual.
Rita, there was a court case I want you to comment on concerning Mary O'Connor that a lot of us got excited about, but our excitement was short-lived. Explain that to us.
Oh, it was a wonderful case. It was the case of Mary O'Connor, a 77-year-old woman in New York. Mary O'Connor had had several strokes, and her daughters had requested that she not be fed, continue to be fed. Mary O'Connor was not comatose, and this was acknowledged by everyone. If you walk into Mary O'Connor's room and say, "What's your name?" she says, "Mary O'Connor." And if you say, "How are you?" she'll say, "All right," or "Okay." And her daughters felt that Mary O'Connor would not want to continue to be fed because she had always said she didn't want to be a burden. The New York Court of Appeals said Mary O'Connor had the right to be fed. And in fact, she will continue to live comfortably as she is doing now. That was a major case, even though the Society for the Right to Die called it disappointing. It was a major case in recognizing that one of the highest courts in a state, or the highest court in one state, had said people have the right to continue to receive food and fluids. But 3 days later, another court decision was handed down in the state of Rhode Island. It was the first time that a federal court had expressed the fact that there is a federal constitutional right to die. And that particular decision will enable or will order a hospital which had been fighting to continue to provide food and fluids for a profoundly disabled woman, that has now ordered that hospital to carry out her starvation and dehydration. Many people...
Based on, as I understand it, Roe v. Wade.
The decision is based on Roe v. Wade, saying that those rights available that we see in Roe v. Wade carry over to here.
Boy, Mike, this emphasizes to me again the importance of judicial appointments. You know, those individuals sitting on the bench had to be appointed, the federal bench anyway, had to be appointed through the Department of Justice by the President and confirmed by the Senate. And we simply must watch that process and who's being put into those positions of judgeships, because we can't get our hands on them. If we don't like what senators and congressmen do, and even the President, we can vote them out of office. We can't get our hands on those judges once they get into those positions. That may be the most important thing a president does, is appoint judges who hold to a traditional value system.
It also speaks to our involvement in local elections, too, and taking the time when we do have elections come around to really understand who we're voting for, because those people are going to ultimately be voting on legislation such as what was proposed in California and elsewhere.
In fact, it is most difficult to get information about the judges that are up for election. You know, I often go into the polling places and wish I knew a little more than I do. And well, I'm in a position to get the information here. I'm sure many people look at those names and have no idea who they are. We're obligated to know that.
We definitely are, and here's where we need to take the responsibility and to say and to look and to learn about the people that will be making these crucial decisions.
Are you encouraged at all, Rita? We've been talking about some heavy stuff for 2 days. Can you give us some hope in somewhere?
Oh, yes. I'm encouraged by a lot of things. One is that we do not see the firm entrenchment of the media in the pro-euthanasia camp that we do in the pro-abortion camp.
They're toying with it.
They're toying with it, but our task force has been doing a lot of radio. In fact, we've been averaging 4 or 5 radio interviews a week on this. And with only 2 exceptions in the last 7 months, we have found that the moderators of talk shows, although they start out firmly saying, "I support the right to die," by the time that we get to the end are either not sure or are saying, "My goodness." So it's so necessary that people learn about this. another really ray of hope is young people. College students, high school students are seeing this for what it is, and they say, it's awful, let's do something about it. The last thing is that we really have to guard against being so demoralized by it and saying it won't work. If we look at this realistically, we know that it eventually will turn out all right. God always comes out on top. Good always wins over evil. It may take 2 months or 2 years.
Or a generation.
200 years.
As it did in Nazi Germany.
Right, but it's going to turn out all right. So all we have to do is to say, what side am I on? That's all we're asked to do.
To coin a phrase, Mike, from our film series, this is a winnable war. I really believe this is one that if you get an opportunity to just lay the facts before the people, even those who don't come from a Christian perspective, I believe we can win this one.
Oh, yes.
But we've got to get going. We have to do our educational tasks along with those who are using the media to get their point across.
Yes.
In a way quite different than abortion, this euthanasia issue has the potential of touching every single one of us at some point.
And remember that Dr. C. Everett Koop said that this is going to be a greater problem than abortion because of this aging population. By the year 2000 in Canada, 21% of the people will be above 65. There used to be 5 workers for every 1 retired person to support Social Security and health care and so on. By the year 2000, there will only be 3. So there is going to be a great pressure, and the convenience of giving a little nudge to those that are already about half gone anyway is going to have an appeal, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. One thing I would like to suggest, too, that when people wonder what can they do, obviously education and prayer and so many things, but there's another thing I would like to suggest to everybody that's listening, and that is that when we see people who are older or who have illnesses, whatever it may be, that we make a concerted effort to remind ourselves to see people rather than to see the person's disability or their illness.
Mm-hmm.
And if we begin to consciously do that, that can make a tremendous change in not only our own attitudes but the attitudes of society, because we have to see every person as the person they are and take away all of the trappings of whatever it may be that makes us feel uncomfortable. This is another human being, and we have to see them.
And we're not on a hierarchy. There aren't some more valuable than others. It's not based on productivity. It's not based on intelligence. It's not based on competence. It's not even based on quality of life. We all have worth. We all have dignity. We all have human value just because God gave it to us. We hammer away at that frequently here, Rita, because I believe that is a fundamental in the Christian faith.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mike, with just a few moments left, let's go back to the little pin that has the white rose and red rose on it. I have a little card here that says the Weiss rose, is that
Weiss
what they call it? Weiss rose, that's German, which means white rose, was a resistance group of students formed at the University of Munich in 1942 who opposed the Nazi euthanasia programs. 40 years later, in contemporary America, and I'm sure Canada too, legalized euthanasia, suicide, and assisted suicide are again being promoted, threatening the lives of thousands who are vulnerable because of age, disability, or dependence. Once again, people of conscience are called to the spirit of the White Rose to promote and defend the rights of all members of the human family to be treated with respect, dignity, and compassion. This pin incorporates the symbol of the white rose with that of the red rose, the traditional symbol of life. Rita, you are a special friend. We have long been concerned about this euthanasia problem, but you have articulated it well. With 7 children, some still young. What's your youngest child?
7.
Oh, my. 7 years of age.
26, 25, 23, 22, 21, 9, and 7.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, when you and I were in my office before we came in here, I prayed. And I said, Lord, I know that Rita did not need the additional pressure and stress of an effort like this, of an assignment that you have given her to convey these thoughts and these ideas, but you've accepted it. You have plenty to do at home. Why are you doing this?
I believe this is what God wants me to do. That's
as simple as that.
Yeah.
And I believe that, too. And to that degree, I appreciate you being here. Keep us informed. This is a rapidly moving problem, isn't it? It's not static. It will be different 12 months from now than it is now.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Well, you stay in touch with us.
I will.
Well, our courageous guest has been Mrs. Rita Marker, the co-director of the Human Life Center at the University of Steubenville in Ohio, and she also directs the International Anti-Euthanasia Task Force, which is a division of the Human Life Center. And this program has been furnished by Focus on the Family. Your host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back tomorrow when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.
Time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Well, I had 2 weeks vacation coming, so I thought I'd drive down to Florida, spend some time with an old friend, date a few girls, make a few parties, and just kind of live it up again. So I packed up my car, and then I called my mom in Tennessee and told her what I'd planned to do. And she said, son, are you coming by? And I said, Mom, I'm really pushed for time. But honey, I'll see you in a week or two. And I was driving through this little town in Georgia when I remembered today is Mama's birthday. Well, I thought I'd just stop and wire some flowers. Shouldn't take too long, then I'd be on my way. So I walked in the flower shop, and the first thing I saw was this little boy with his eyes full of tears. And I said, son, what's wrong? And he said, Mama loves roses, and today's her birthday, and I haven't seen her in almost a year. I live with Grandpa now, but I promised Mama some roses, 'cause I talk to her all the time. I wanted to give her 5, 'cause that's how old I am. But the lady said I couldn't buy them for just a dime. Well, the little feller's story kind of touched my heart. So I told the lady, just give him what he wanted and charge it to me. Well, that's when I told her to wire a dozen roses to my mama up in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. While I looked around, the little boy was gone. But all of a sudden, the door flew open and he came running back in. And he said, Mister, I forgot to thank you for the roses. He smiled and shook my hand and ran back out again. Well, I started on out of town, and I was feeling real proud of myself for thinking of my mama and really caring. When I looked out my window, I saw that same little boy kneeling by a grave in an old cemetery. Well, I stopped my car and walked over to where the little boy was kneeling down. And he smiled up at me and he said, this is where my mama stays. She says she sure does thank you for these pretty roses. Well, that's when I had to walk away. And I drove right back to that flower shop and I said, lady, have you sent those flowers to Tennessee? And she said, no. Not yet. And I said, well, just never mind. I'll just take them back with me.
She was my mother. She was love. God sent her to us from above. No great careers, no one great deed could give her fame to fortune mean. As I recall her smiling face, I see a queen of stately grace. She wove a life of golden lace that time and tears cannot erase. She was my mother. She gave the most that there was to give. She knew no other way to live. She never wanted wealth or gold. Wounds she trained could not be sold. As memoirs of time unfold, I feel the love her life did hold. When her heart could give no more, God opened up another door to paradise and joys unknown, to reap the love so dearly sown. In obeying God, she truly won. He chose to give her peace and sweet repose. The work is over, new life begun. In obeying God, she truly won.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the message between that there song and poem is just saying, be thankful for your mother while she's living, because when she's not, you're going to regret it.
Now, you 100% positive, for sure, guaranteed 100% that is your final answer.
I'm 100% sure on that one there, yogi-sounding pastor.
Well. Well. Pastor Bonnet, I think you better get ready to cry if she keeps this up. She's now 14 for 17. She is fast coming upon you with full steam on this locomotive. She's not holding nothing back. She's got this 100% correct again. She is not holding back. She's coming at you full throttle. And definitely going to be passing Ruth and six pretty soon, real quick here. So, once again, she's got that 100% correct.
Well, six. I guess I saved your wallet yet again, and I also saved my behind from an email switch from Dad.
Well, maybe not on that email switch. If you end up beating Pastor Bonnie, he may still get after you. So what do you think of that?
Well, he's down there where he's at. I'm up here. That email switch won't hurt so bad if it's not a real one.
For sure. All right, and now we'll just continue on with the show. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear.
tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened.
Lesson is Builders with God. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to take every true born-again believer to the judgment of his works, which time he will settle the books with every Christian regarding that which he has done in his body since he's been a born-again Christian. Scripture, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. Revelation 22:12, King James Version. This verse of Scripture tells us very plainly in an easy, simple, yet forthright manner that Christ is going to reward the Christian man and woman according to his work shall be. Whether you as a Christian worker for the cause of Christ are aware of it or not, it's possible that you may not receive a full reward for your labors as a builder with God. Scripture, look to yourselves that ye have not those things which we have wrought, builded, but that we receive a full reward. 2 John, verse 8, KJV. In other words, the Apostle John says it's possible that an individual may have spent much time in this life working for Christ, but in the day of the judgment of the believer's works, he can fail to receive a full reward. I know there are people who say these two verses of Scripture, especially the one in Revelation, refer to eternal life. I would say unto you that these two verses of Scripture do not have one thing to do with our salvation. Our eternal salvation, which we now possess, if we have been born again by the Spirit of God, was given to us by God free of charge. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't steal it, but it was given to us as an outright gift from God the Father. Scripture, for by grace and merited favor of God are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, King James Version. We learn from these verses of Scripture, from the pen of the great Apostle Paul, that salvation is a free gift which cannot be bought, earned, or stolen. It's given to us by God. Therefore, every Christian who has received this free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ should be a builder with God. Once we become builders with God, the day will eventually come when we will examine according to our works and we will be rewarded accordingly. There are a number of things we want to specifically examine very carefully. Let's be specific and look at three distinct things. Number one, the foundation upon which we are to build. Two, the building materials to be used during the building process. And three, the rewards which are to be given for our work. Naturally, as builders, we come and want to closely examine the foundation upon which we're going to build. As a child of God, there is only one foundation on which we are to build. It's described in the Bible in this manner, Scripture. For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, KJV. According to Noah Webster's dictionary, a foundation is described this way. that on which something is founded or the natural prepared ground or base on which some structure rests. We see from God's word that the foundation upon which a Christian is to build his life work for Christ is Jesus Christ, himself the one and only foundation which will withstand the storms of time. Scripture, and I say unto you, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not be prevail against it. Matthew 16:18, King James Version. From the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we have the statement that he is the rock. Rock is this particular verse of Scripture. There's a play upon words. Thou art Peter, Petros, literally a little stone, and upon this rock, Petra, a giant boulder, I will build my church. Christ did not promise to build his church upon Peter, who was a sinful human being like the rest of us have been in our lifetimes, because Christ was going to build something which would last eternally. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he needed a solid rock, a Petra, upon which to build, and he promised to build it upon himself. Therefore, as you build for God, if you're not building upon the rock, the Petra, Jesus Christ, the foundation upon which you are placing your structure for your life's work will come to a time when it will not endure the testings of life. You need to be building upon a solid rock foundation so when the winds of testing assail you, your works will stand secure. Scripture, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Matthew 7:24-25. From Scripture, we have established the fact that there is only one true foundation a child of God can intellectually build upon. If as a child of God, we are unwavering to build upon any other foundation, let me warn you that you are in for a great big heartache and disappointment. There's only one foundation which will stand the storms of life, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. We now want to carefully examine the building materials to be used as we who are children of God, built with God in this life, whether you know it or not, we shall all be erecting a spiritual house unto the Lord. Scripture. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. This verse tells us that we are being built up into a spiritual house as we fit it into the building of God. Each one of us is placed. They're somewhat like a brick or a stone would be placed in the wall of a house according to its shape, size, and the need by a builder or a stonemason. This is borne out in the following verse from God's word. Scripture, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, for the body is not one another, one member, but many. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, spiritual house, as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:13-18, King James Version. From these three verses of Scripture, we see that God is placing us in the building of a spiritual house according as he sees out different abilities, enthusiasm, and intent of heart. As we continue to build for God, it's going to require building materials just the same as though you went out into the backyard and started to build a doghouse, a lean-to for your horse, or a carport for your Volkswagen. As builders with God, we need building materials, and God very plainly outlines 6 different kinds of building materials to be used in the erection of the house, which we are building upon the one foundation. Scripture. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians 3:12 in the King James Version. This verse lists 6 kinds of building materials from which we have the right to choose. You'll note, my dear friends, that the first 3 building materials mentioned are of an eternal nature, gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, you can't destroy gold, you can't destroy silver, and you sure can't destroy precious stones. You can put gold and silver over the fire as a solid, and they will become liquid, so they can actually be poured, just as a soft drink can be poured from a bottle into a drinking glass. But once the metal cools off, the liquid will change back to a solid. Applying it to gold, silver, or precious stones will not destroy them. It will just change their appearance temporarily. Real precious stones are not easily destroyed. Out here in Ashtabula, there was a famous movie star, and he and his house burned to the ground, together with several other expensive homes in the Bel Air district. One day after the fire, the movie star appeared in her chauffeur-driven limousine, got out, and began raking around in the ashes of her former expensive mansion on the mountaintop. Someone made inquiry as to what she was doing, and she said she was looking for her diamonds. Even she knew enough about diamonds to realize they were eternal. They were precious stones. That's what the Bible says about building upon the foundation of Christ. We're to use gold, silver, and precious stones. These are the things which are eternal. These represent the motives of the heart, which are for God's honor and glory. In other words, because I've been called of God, sent of God, and taught of God, if I am teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the express purpose of warning sinners and awakening sleeping Christians with no desire for material gain for myself personally, except the necessities of life, then I'm building out of gold, silver, and precious stones. The same thing applies to you. If you're involved in the work of the Lord, whether it be a deacon, trustee, elder, member of the choir, Sunday school teacher, youth worker, or whatever you might be doing in the church, as long as you do that strictly for God's honor and glory and you have at heart the spiritual welfare of the people with whom you are involved, giving yourself wholeheartedly without any expectation of rewards in a material way, looking forward to the day when you will stand at the judgment of the Christian's work, then you are building out of gold, silver, and precious stones, and according to 2 John verse 8, you will receive a full reward. In other words, the intentions of the heart or the purpose for which we do these things determines whether we are building out of gold, silver, or precious stones. The other three kinds of building materials out of which we may build are Scripture, if any man bound upon his foundation, wood, hay, stubble, 1 Corinthians 3:12, KJV. Person uses these three kinds of building materials, he will certainly run into trouble because wood, hay, stubble are temporarily building materials and they will not endure the fires of persecution, testings, and godly examination. Anybody who builds out of these materials is doing so because of a fleshly, selfish, personal interest, and this cannot be according to the will of God. Wood, hay, and stubble are representative of the things we do for personal glory and satisfaction that can only bring chaos and spiritual calamity to those using them. Scripture, any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14, KJV. There are three different distinct steps or conditions involved in the position of our works, and they are, number one, the foundation, two, the building materials to be used, and three, the rewards that we've given for our labors in this body since we've been born-again Christians. Let's ask ourselves this question. What kind of building materials am I using as a work and labor for God? The Scripture says that each one of us is going to be examined. That's why the Word of God says, Scripture, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer less, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3:15, King James Version. The verse immediately preceding this one says, if any man's work abide or endure, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward or rewards. These two verses tell us we are going to be tested, and there will become a day of examination to determine the extent of the rewards we will receive at the judgment of the Christian's works. Our works will not actually be put into a fiery furnace, similar to the one which Nebuchadnezzar cast the three Hebrew children, but the fiery gaze of Jesus Christ will be able to look right down through our works and determine the exact motive or motives which prompted our labors. Christ will be able to see the works we did, knowing whether it was for our own personal selfish good or if we did for his honor and glory. For instance, let us examine that we are now standing in the presence of Jesus Christ at the judgment of our works as Christians. All of us are having to come up, as it were, and put up our works in front of Jesus Christ so he can examine them. A man, as we will not use any particular name for illustration, was a politician on the earth and a Christian as well. Christ will ask him to display the works he did while on the earth. He places his works before the Lord after much searching, and Jesus Christ asks him what they are. The politician says it was a gift of $10,000 given to a hospital. Christ asked him what his occupation was on the earth, and he said he was a politician. Christ asked him when he gave the gift to the hospital, and the politician responds that he gave it 3 days before election in front of the camera, the newspaper reporters, and the transaction might be reported by the press. You may decide for yourself whether he gave the money to the hospital out of a heart of love, thereby building out of gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether he gave the money for additional publicity 3 days before election and thereby built of wood, hay, and stubble for his own fleshly, selfish desires and ambitions. My feeling is that he would receive no rewards for that particular deed. If anyone in any walk of life who is a Christian is guilty of such an act of willful, selfish disobedience and personal glorification, he will never receive any reward for such actions. Scripture, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto them to fast. Now I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Lord God, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:16-18. You can see this important business of being builders with God is something which should not be taken in a half-hearted manner. Very serious business with eternal values. Can't you just see up in heaven in the judgment of the Christian's works an individual standing and being questioned by the judge as to what he did for Christ while he was here on the earth? We hear that individual saying in response to Christ's question that he played ball. Christ said unto him, yeah, well, I know you played ball as a little boy, but what did you do for me as you grew older? Again, the person being questioned says, I played ball. Yes, I know you played ball as a teenager, but when you grew up to be a young man, do you mean you tell me that you continued to play ball? Yes, I continued to play ball. As a teenager, you played ball, and then a young man, you did the same. When you reached adulthood, what did you do for me? Christ continues to ask, but back came the same answer, I played ball. The big trouble with the Christian world today, the big reason why in a little over 60 years the satanic forces of communism have been able to win into their ranks half of the world's population, and why the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for better than 1900 years has materially failed to evangelize the world, is because we Christians are just playing ball. We're only playing church. We're really not serious about this business of being builders with God. We really don't take our Christian responsibility seriously. Oh, I know, here and there a few get on fire for God, get enthusiastic about the things of eternal value, and really go out to win the lost for him. But the majority of Christians are contented and satisfied to sit in their rocking chairs of complacency, letting the world go by on the broad freeways of life that lead to eternal damnation, nor even blinking an eye in an effort to stop them. When called upon to make a sacrifice for the getting out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the undergirding of a godly pastor to the local church, for an extra zeal and energy to be expended as a specific evangelistic endeavor, most people don't want to be bothered. With a shrug of the shoulder, they really easily ignore godly's commitments and responsibilities, while the devil's crowd goes on in an enthusiastic manner, sweeping multiplied millions into a devil's hell as we sit idly by and do absolutely nothing. When life's journey is over, will you as an individual receive a reward from Jesus Christ, or will you just get into heaven by the skin of your teeth that were by fire? It's something to think about. Life is serious. God has allowed many folks to be here on this earth for 70 years, and by reason of strength, that is if we drink 8 glasses of water every day, sleep with our windows open, and run around the block 2 times before breakfast every morning, keeping these physical bodies in condition, we might live to be 80 years old. But then what? We're not fooling God. We're only fooling ourselves. We are builders with God, and we're supposed to be building a lively spiritual building out of gold, silver, and precious stones, on the only foundation we could possibly build upon for eternal good, and that is Jesus Christ himself. I found an unusual urge to write from my heart to you in order that many might be able to square your books with God, enabling you to have a real purpose in life, and that you may be an eternal builder with God using gold, silver, and precious stones. We're examining the prophetic fact that God's word says every true child of God must stand at the judgment of the Christian's works and give an account of what he has done in his body for the cause of Christ and the upbuilding of the kingdom of God during his lifetime. Scripture, but for us all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10, KJV. This verse says, we must all appear. In other words, this judgment or examination has nothing to do with the white throne judgment, which will take place approximately 1,000 years later, when all the ungodly of all ages will stand before a great white throne. At that time, the books will be opened, and they will be shown that they had an opportunity to be saved during their particular probationary period of time. scripture, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Revelation 20, 11 through 12, KJV. These two verses of scripture refer to the white throne judgment, whereas we've been discussing a special judgment of the believer's works. All of God's children are going to have to give an account of what they have done in these physical bodies, so they have been sons of God. If upon complete examination we're found to have been building out of gold, silver, or precious stones, Bible says we will receive a reward or rewards. Scripture, and I behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Revelation 22:12, KJV. We've seen that Jesus Christ is not coming to give us eternal life, as some have misinterpreted this verse of Scripture, but he's coming to reward us for our labors. We have eternal life now. We've been born again by the Spirit of God while we are in these physical bodies. Scripture, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth not him, God, that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24, KJV. When Jesus Christ said he was coming back to reward us for our labors as builders with God, does that talk about eternal life? The moment a sinner admits he's a sinner, repents of his sins, asks God to forgive him his sins and cleanse him from all unrighteousness, God complies with that request. Then he gives that forgiven sinner to Jesus Christ, who gives him eternal life, which means everlasting life. Eternal life is given now. Therefore, once we receive eternal life from Christ, we come builders with God. We are to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ himself, as we saw earlier in this particular book lesson. In fact, he's the only foundation a child of God can build upon, because of the word of God says, to other foundation can no man lay that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, KJV. In building upon this foundation, Christ, we saw that there are six kinds of building materials to select from, with the first three, gold, silver, and precious stones, being the preferred ones, since they are eternal. They're symbolic of the desires of the heart, where the work is designed to please God and glorify him. The other three building materials, wood, hay, and stubble, temporary in nature, and are symbolic of selfish acts, fleshly desires, and just plain satisfaction of the human will. Therefore, if we are to build successfully with God on the one foundation, we must build with the idea of our works standing the test, which will be the fiery gaze of Christ at the judgment of the Christian's works. Scripture, every man's work shall be made manifest, examined, for the day shall declare or reveal it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13, KJV. In other words, when Jesus Christ observes the Christian's works at the judgment up in heaven, after the translation of the church, he will show and know why we did everything we did. He'll know the purpose behind every act. He'll know the motives that prompted us to do the things we did. He'll know whether we did them for his honor and glory, or that we were for our own edification. If they were for God's honor and glory, and our feelings didn't enter into the situation in any way, we'll receive a reward for our labors. It's just that simple. You work for God to please and honor him, or to work to please and honor yourself. The first kind of work will receive a reward from God, but the second kind will not receive any reward. So as we come to the conclusion of the subject, let me just say, as lovingly and strongly as I know how, you are not fooling anybody except yourself if you aren't diligently working and laboring for God Almighty as a builder with God. Seizing the materials he has supplied for you to use, just be reminded that all of us who have been born again are going to have to stand at the judgment bar of God for the judgment of the Christian's works. Give an account for everything we've done in this physical body since we have been Christians. That's why the Bible says, Scripture, and now, little children, abide in him, Christ, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 2:28. That's why I'm urging every listener to make sure that what he does for Christ. Only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last, and the next lesson will be one world coming.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced.
Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 71, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us as we pull the old gospel bus into the station?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Queen Nye, and me.
All right. Well, how you doing, Queen Nye? What do you got in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises, or any questions or comments on the messages that you heard? Okay. She's probably just wanting to listen.
No, I'm just having trouble getting the mic open.
Well, if she wanted to talk, Ruth, she knows how to open her own mic if she wanted to. So, does she have her hand up?
No, so she probably just wanted to listen.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. If she wants to join in, she knows how to take care of that. Okay, well then, Sister Emily, any questions, comments, or prayer requests that you may have missed at the beginning? Okay, maybe she's got to get her coffee.
I'm here. I'm here, honey.
All right.
I had to get a hold of my phone because my hand's not working right tonight.
Okay, we'll pray for that.
While we were on air, I had to flip over because the prayer line went off.
All right.
A lady by the name of Rebecca, but she goes by Becca.
Mm-hmm.
She's an old classmate of mine, and she was calling me asking for prayer for her family. They had a tragedy happen this afternoon, so.
Okay. Unspoken there for Rebecca, okay.
Yeah.
Also okay, anything else?
Also be keeping me in prayer while we were on the air. I took a nosedive.
That didn't feel good. All right.
No.
Okay, anything else?
You said boss man dropped off?
Most likely because he's not there.
Darn. I was just going to ask Queen Nye if she did hear the song and poem area, what she thought of the little comment at the end after the song and poem.
Well, if she wants to talk, she'll join in. Okay. But is that all for you, Em?
Yes, and with that, I'm complete.
All right. Well, I do want to make a mention where they were talking about the euthanasia, about especially with those that are elderly, that kind of thing. I want to just make a strong recommendation to all the listeners that if you want to solve a lot of that kind of problem, it's wise to get your advance directives filled out. Then you know that your own wishes have to be followed. So those kind of things, get those taken care of. Your living will, your power of attorney, your DNR, those kind of things. If you want to get those kind of forms filled out, I mean, you can get them at quite a few places. They're free, and you could fill them out, and they're just as good as having a lawyer draw them up. So, and I've even spoke to an attorney on that subject, and they said, yeah, getting the pre-made forms and filling them out are just as good as any document that a lawyer could draw up. So just to let you know, those are documents that you would definitely want to get, and easily you can find those documents right there at your local hospital, etc. So you could easily find those documents and get them filled out. And then if you have any questions and you're not sure of exactly what the wording is, or it'd be recommended that you talk to your attorney just in case you don't understand it. So that's just my recommendation. As you notice, I'm not telling anybody what they should fill out. They fill it out as they feel led and do how they want. But that's what I recommend highly, because I've got my advance directives filled out, and it is very smart. So, all right. And Sister Ruth, do you got any last comments or whatever?
No, I just thought it was a good show, and just pray for everyone that, you know, needs the Lord, and I'm concerned about lost souls. But I think that pretty much covers me.
Okay. Well, unless Queen Nye has anything, if she wants to jump in, what we'll do is we will have, just to see if she will do it, Sister Emily, if you're willing to give us a closing prayer.
Now, we'll just, either you or Sister Ruth be on here tonight.
Okay, Ruth, you're on.
All right, we love and praise your name, Lord, and I hope everybody enjoyed the program tonight. Be with all our prayer requests. You know what they are. I just want to love and praise your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen, and I'll catch everybody tomorrow. Now, remember, there are two programs tomorrow on Station 2 at this being coming Thursday. So you'll want to check out the 1 o'clock for the Jumbo Braille program on Station 2. And the number you call is 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340 on Station 1, the Jumbo Braille program. And then at 9 p.m. right here on Station 1, of course, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617 is, of course, the show, The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. And we'll be glad to have you on one or both programs. We'd love to have you. So join us, and we'll catch you on either of these programs given by the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody. Catch you tomorrow.
Thank you.
God bless.